T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The greatest return man in Redskins history, who keeps it real 24-7. This is the Brian Mitchell Show with Scott Lynn on the Team 980 and the Team 980 app.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Brian Mitchell Show. I may be a little sleepy today. I tried to watch every minute of all three games that were on last night, but you know, I couldn't get every minute. You know, because if I would have gotten every minute, you know, I probably wouldn't be here right now.
You
fell
look like
a little
me.
Bit late on that last game last night. But ultimately, let me just tell you this. The Dodgers showed some oomph because they didn't quit. But I would tell you, I really, really like the Rays. I was listening to Galdi this morning talk about all the people, the major baseball franchises that have went down there to Florida and get some people from Tampa. And I would say, ultimately, yeah, whenever it works, it works. Doesn't make a difference where you are. Like they say, if you can perform, they will find you no matter where you are. So, I mean, Scotty, did you get all of it? I know you got 25 TVs at home, so you watch everything.
I got in everything last night, B. After I got off the Zabe show, we took care of some homework help, and then, you know, I acted like I didn't know anything, so I got right on the quesadillas, and it was quesadilla night at the Lynn House for the boys.
Yeah,
and my
tacos.
Wife. And then, yeah, and you'd have been so proud of me. Sauteed up a little spinach, threw in a little red onion, and then that was the base for all of them. And then my wife doesn't eat chicken, so we had red onion and spinach and cheese, and then we threw in some chicken for the other ones.
How about turkey?
Everybody was happy. She does no meat, no feathers, no fur, no feathers, no skin. She just eats veggies and fish. But there was no, you know.
But why you didn't go get no damn tilapia or something else? I mean, some Chilean sea bass and put it in there.
You know what? There's tilapia. Thank God for Trader Joe's. There's tilapia always in the freezer.
But why didn't you fix it for us, Scotty?
I asked. She's like, nah, I'm good. She's like, just, you know, make the veggie ones. I said, all right, make the veggie ones.
Oh, so, healthy family.
That's cool.
Look at that. I see why.
Healthy wife.
See, Solly, we kept giving him credit. He don't deserve the damn credit for staying such a slim man.
No, not the bicycling.
His wife deserves the credit because you know what? She say, look, this is what I'm eating. Then, damn it, you're going to eat the same thing.
That's true. Yeah. It's hard to diet by yourself. You usually bring the spouse with you. That's why neither of us diet at home. I was like, you want to diet? She's like, nah. And I'm the fat one. So
like, nah. But that's how I went. But you know what? I think last night we saw with great coaching – what great sacrifice on players' part as well, and great understanding can do for a football team. These guys had basically practiced two times in 2 weeks.
They hadn't played in 17 days, right?
But they looked like they were in a rhythm.
Hardly, right, aside from the alleged illegal get-togethers, there wasn't anything wrong with them. And you look at the other team, who was a monster so far, and it was funny. We talked to, on the Zabe show, we talked to Adam Kilgore about a week ago, and he had already written that big piece about Josh Allen and how he was a changed man. And anybody who watches, Bills fans especially, they know if you're an NFL fan, you're like, damn, this dude looks a lot different. And a lot of it has to do with Stephon Diggs, and there's a calmness and a serenity around the wide receivers now, and he's got weapons and some young running backs that are coming into their own. So last night, John Brown was inactive, running back Zach Moss was inactive, and Josh Allen threw one. The early pick went right off of Robert's hands. That may have been a little behind him, but still, the second one was awful. It was like someone turned the lights out and just said, throw a ball, and he threw it, and Malcolm Butler was like,
throw it to the side.
Yeah, is this for me? And he made, by the way, we talk about Butler's return. He starts running, and he catches, I think, at his own 20, and Cole Beasley's got him there, and he spins around and spins away, and it goes all the way down to the Tennessee 12. It was an insane one. But Allen, for at least one night, regressed, credit to Tennessee's defense. But the Bills, B. Mitch, if you don't practice for 17 days and I show you the box score and it's a blind box score, you're going to go, Tennessee's going to get penalized 10 times and have three turnovers. No, it was Buffalo that was penalized 10 times and had three turnovers, and they were the perfect storm coming to town to prove that they were worth all the praise they were getting.
I would explain that in a sense. I'm going to use a golf analogy. Like, I know people that play golf, if you play golf every day, people assume that you're going to be better.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're playing every day and you have some bad thing in your swing or whatever, you're trying to correct that on a daily basis. And some days you may hit it, some days you won't. So you're basically getting worse instead of getting better. But when you don't play golf for maybe a week or two, when the first time you come back, what do? More? You focus more. You try to make your backswing a little bit more smooth, and you try to swing easier. And all of a sudden, you go, damn, I ain't played in 2 weeks. This is the best I've ever played all year. And I think that happened. What happened with Tennessee, they held people accountable. But I don't think they were sitting out there ratting their teammates out about anything crazy. But they were saying, look, we got to do this. We got to do that. Hey, are you studying? You know, they were doing their studying. They were checking on people. I think that happened. So when they got back out there on the football field, it was like, you know the assumption, okay? Mike Vrabel also played for Belichick and was there with him. And I think Mike Vrabel,
he understands.
Based off of all the comments you hear about him, he's as close to Belichick as when he expects you to handle your business. Now, flip it on the other side. Buffalo, sitting at what, they were 4-0 at the time? They hadn't been 5-0 since the 90s, something like that. So what are they doing? They're filling themselves, okay? And they got receivers that are divas, and they got a lot of players that, oh, yeah, people were talking this noise about us. Yeah, we got the Bill gang, whatever they little gang back. And all of a sudden, they got lazy. So when they got on the football yesterday, they looked like the one that had been out for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that happens. Mentally can screw up everything. Everybody's physically ready to play for the most part. Hell, Tennessee got rested. They healed up. But you go out there and you made mental mistake after mental mistake after mental mistake. You had bad decisions. You dropped balls, all that type of thing. That seemed like the team that was reading their clippings, you know. And at the little song, I'm feeling myself.
And you know, Mr. McDermott. Mr. McDermott doesn't normally play like that, being a direct disciple of Coach Johnson.
Yes.
He doesn't, you know, he's one of those guys, too. You start reading your stuff, that's not the new Bills way. Now, whether they were reading this, they just didn't execute.
They didn't.
You know, again, a drop ball, deflection, kickoff return that was fumbled, endless penalties, just stupid stuff.
But I think Tennessee
was... You guys have been off for 3 weeks.
Tennessee was far more physical last night.
They were.
And, you know, I heard them talking about Josh Norman.
He got used in the end zone, and he got used on the carry. And the carry was useless because it was negated by offsetting penalties. But he looked terrible against A.J. Brown, too. He just looked – he had a bad night.
That's a forgotten skill. And I would say more people – you don't have to be as big and as strong, you know, as my man, that just stiffed him as Derrick Henry. But just the moment that you catch somebody with it. But he was able to lift him and throw him. That was amazing, dude. And I love seeing the stiff arm because it can stop you and it can ignite me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of guys coming from behind, you just stiff that arm and their energy runs into you and you just pull away from them. Or they're coming across, and Josh was running full speed from his left to his right. So when he pushed him to that side, he just had to get him elevated a little bit. His momentum was going to take him in the air.
And he got him more elevated than a little bit. It looked like a kung fu kick.
It was hilarious, dude. But you just saw that they got to a point where it was, we're going to big boy you. We're lining up, and we dare you to try and stop us. That touchdown at the end, everybody committed to the inside. Henry said, poop, outside. Nobody touched him. It's just understanding and having game plan. That mindset, you saw them down the stretch, that was a 4-minute, 5-minute offense game. I mean, mindset mm-hmm. where you know we're running the ball and you can't do nothing about it. And I just think that every time I see that, I expect us to get to that point again where people know you're going to run and they can't stop you. But it doesn't happen that way very often.
No doubt. Tannehill looked really, really good, too. Wasn't the greatest of evenings, but there's confidence. There was, again, physicality. He's like, you know what? You want me to run? Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll run.
He's an athlete. But the thing about it is, and that's we'll get into stuff about Tannehill later on. He was a guy that many people thought was a bust and was out the league. All of a sudden, he found someone that was able to get him into an offense and stuck with him, and he seemed way more skilled in Tennessee than he was in Miami, does he not? So what is that? That's coaching?
Yep.
Okay.
Confidence. It's
confidence
finding yourself.
And
it's being a comeback guy. Sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
Too many
it's getting
times.
Somebody to believe in you.
We automatically assume it's all on the player, but you know, coaches are paid to coach. And coaching is not just taking what you give me and bring it here. Coaching is making you become what I need you to be. And a lot of times it doesn't happen. All right, let's take a quick break here. We'll be back. Let's get into a little baseball because at 12:30 we'll be joined by Steve Gardner from the Washington Post. Steve is going to help us.
USA Today.
USA Today, my fault. Help us understand what's happening in these playoffs. It just seemed like two teams seem to be very, very much moving forward. And the two that we expected to be moving forward don't seem to have it. And now we're looking at Kershaw probably out again.
Dodgers, he's not going tonight.
Dodgers might be in trouble. I don't know. This is the Brian Mitchell Show with Scott Lynn, Team 980, Team 98 App, 95.9 FM. We'll be back.
Back to B. Mitch and Scott on the Team 980 and the Team 980 App.
All right, welcome back to the Brian Mitchell Show here with Scott Lynn. And Scotty, did you fathom the series standings being where they are now?
Yes, only because Tampa Bay was the one seed for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just because you and I sit here and a lot of people who, I'll pay attention. Whoa, how'd they get to be there? Now we're seeing why.
Mm-hmm.
They continue to win close games. They continue to pitch really well. And we'll talk to Mr. Gardner of USA Today in a couple of minutes, and he can go into much deeper depths about their bullpen. But they just continue to do everything right, play sound defense, get really, really, really big catches and big defensive plays whenever they need them. You know, Kevin Kiermaier, who unfortunately took a ball off his back wrist, last night. Dude made a catch at the wall. Dude also made a layout catch to rob, I think it was Carlos Correa. But this is like every single night from that guy. You saw the catch from Manny Margot. I mean, you know, we came into the postseason going, okay, we know about Bellinger. We know about Muncy. We know about Betts. We know about, Kershaw and all these other, and Will Smith and Carlos Correa, who was smacking the cover off the ball for Houston in the Oakland series, and Altuve, who's got it going on. But Altuve can't play defense right now.
Yeah.
He's got a case of what they're calling the yips. You mentioned your golf term. I mean, poor guy, and if you think that they're cheaters, and a lot of us do, then you're not really sad because Houston's struggling and is in a huge 0-3 hole. But we all seem to like Dusty, so we were rooting for Dusty, maybe.
True.
But he can't complete a simple throw from second to short or second to first on a ground ball, and he's now made three errors in the past 2 days. Just like the little things they add up quickly. And that's no doubt why Houston is down. I mean, you know, Dusty Baker yesterday said, hey, you want an exit velocity. You guys are hitting the ball hard, and they are. But he said something to the effect of, I don't want an exit, I don't want any more exit velocity. I want an exit hit.
Yeah.
Because he wants his guys to. That was an absolute
great response.
Yeah.
But you watch, like, their player, what was Renfro?
Hunter Renfro,
last
who's
night,
got DC ties. He played in the big train league.
Two of them. Mm-hmm. Two diving catches.
Yeah, catches and he comes up with a bloop double.
Yes.
You're like, damn. You know?
It's not one person. It's like everybody does something,
mm-hmm.
which takes the pressure off everybody.
Absolutely. And again, they're little things, but you start adding them up and you go, here comes big man, big boy at the end, Diego Castillo, to shut stuff down. He's been great. He was great again. They just keep on. And, you know, now they got Tyler Glasnow going today, and Zach Greinke can be excellent, and Zach Greinke can be a touch on the dicey side. You don't know, you know, what you're going to get, but it doesn't matter because Tampa Bay, they'll come back and you're down 2-1. All right, they could put up five,
mm-hmm.
and they're making, you know, I mean, go back and look at how they scored those runs in that inning, and hit by pitch, bloop double. You're like, no one came up, and we didn't get up because of a 3-run home run. You know, it's they'll make the most of whatever situation.
The thing about them, though, as I watched them last night, and they kept bringing in the pitching.
Mm-hmm.
Their pitchers all different. It's like you get used to something, and they bring something totally different in. You got an overhand thrower, now you got a guy who's throwing it from the side, and all he throws is things that are moving. The next guy come in throwing sidearms, but his stuff just goes straight all the time. You know, then they brought in Castillo. I'm like, huh? He doesn't seem like the one that you want to be the closer. Just watch, looking at him compared to the other guys. And he's basically just nonchalant, whew, let it go.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like they keep you guessing at all costs. And on top of it, their skipper, he was putting matchups on them. They couldn't figure it out. They got bases loaded, and you got no score, no runs out of it. That mm-hmm. says a lot about your defense, your pitching. And he seemed, like you would say, sometimes managers just have a feel. He seems to have that feel.
Yeah, and last night, Ryan Yarbrough pitched five innings, gave up the two home runs, the mm-hmm. One to Altuve, and then one to Brantley before he left. And struck out five, and you're like, all right, we still got four to go. Peter Fairbanks, who has started games for them previously, perfect one. Curtis came also out and did what he was supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Struck out one, did give up a couple hits, but all right, Thompson comes in, shuts it down. And Loop, people have had his number, including Kyle Tucker, comes in, clean two-thirds. And then Castillo again, walked two. There's a little adventure in there, but also struck out too, and you're like, okay. Mm-hmm. But that sixth inning was such an adventure for the Astros pitchers.
Yeah.
They bring in this kid who I wasn't unaware, Enoli Paredes, and he's the one that hit two batters.
Mm-hmm.
And you could just see Dusty's face like, get me the hell out of here. Now this is not going to be pretty. But, you know, you asked me if I'm surprised. They were 40-20 in the 60-game season.
Should we bring the broom?
They're great.
Is this a sweep?
I'll ask Mr. Gardner if it's a sweep. I think Houston's got something in them. But, they need George Springer to step up.
They got something in them, but I think Tampa Bay, the Rays got more in them.
Mm-hmm.
They just seem to have it going.
Absolutely.
Let's take a break. We get back. We'll be joined by Steve Gardner, USA Today baseball writer. Get his take and find out, will this be a sweep? This is the Brian Mitchell Show with Scott Lynn. Back in a few minutes.
Back to B. Mitch and Scott on the Team 980 and the Team 980 app.
Back at the Brian Mitchell Show on a hump day Wednesday. B. Mitch in studio. I'm in a studio. And our friend Steve Gardner is enjoying life as a baseball writer and fantasy football writer supreme. He of USA Today, at Steve A. Gardner on Twitter. You can find Steve there. He joins us on the Team 980's Window Nation guest hotline. Mr. G., happy Wednesday. How are you, sir?
Thank you, Scott. Doing great. How about you guys?
Oh, we're doing great.
We are quite well and enjoying the show. Brian was asking me, and I cannot begin to do it justice, the surprise factor that the Rays are in the position that they're in. And I don't think that they're amongst the people who know the game. You shouldn't be surprised. The Astros did struggle through the season, were not pretty at times, and just because they steamrolled through Minnesota and, what, scored 33 runs and hit 12 homers against the Oakland A's, you're like, oh, they're back. This is what we expected. This is like a horse race where they finally decided to get it going. So when they came in, they certainly did have momentum. But I think everybody wrote off the quote-unquote no-names, no disrespect intended, for the Rays, and they keep throwing pitcher after pitcher, and they keep playing sound defense to the tune, Steve, of making, you know, 10 bell catches whenever they're needed. Ted, what has Kevin Cash got going on?
That was just an amazing display of defense. But even beyond that, I mean, to have the guys who can make those catches physically, you have to have them in the right positions, first of all, to be able to get to those balls. And the infield has to be in the right position to be able to turn double plays when you really need it, as we saw in Game 2. So, yeah, it's Tampa Bay being Tampa Bay and being super efficient, and Kevin Cash getting the maximum he can out of all of those players and using everybody on that playoff roster. You know, it's a different guy, it seems like, every single night. And, you know, we've had that happen really in our faces every time when they play, especially this series against Houston.
Steve, I know Scott said that they were so good throughout the 60 games, but are you by any chance surprised at the way that they're handling it? And then looking over with Atlanta against the Dodgers at how they're performing?
Well, not really with Tampa Bay. I mean, they had the best record and of any team in the American League, and Houston had the worst of any playoff team. So this result shouldn't come as too much of a surprise. In the National League, however, yes, it is quite a surprise to me. I mean, the Dodgers were just so loaded and were so good during the regular season and cruised into this particular round of the playoffs that it looked like they were almost invincible, and yet the Braves have been able to keep their offense, keep the Dodgers' offense stymied, and they've been able to, you know, get the big hits at the big times. And, I still think the Dodgers have room to come back, but the way that the Braves have just completely, you know, outclassed them over the course of the first two games of the NLCS is definitely a surprise to me.
Injuries happen, back spasm, all those things. Kershaw missing her first start, probably will not play in this next start as well. Will this affect his legacy moving forward?
It might. I still think, though, Brian, I still think there's a chance that he overcomes these back injuries. You know, Max Scherzer had no chance at starting in Game 5 of the World Series last year, but came back in Game 7. So I think this is one of those situations. It's possible that he can put those back issues aside, a couple of days of rest, and maybe he comes back for a Game 4 or a Game 5. But, yeah, I mean, his legacy, he's been great in the postseason this year. I mean, his last start was his best postseason start ever. So, I mean, he's building back that narrative and swinging the pendulum back in the positive direction. But sadly, I mean, people will only remember you're as good as your last outing. And if he's not on the mound and the Dodgers somehow, you know, end up losing this without Kershaw even getting a chance to get out there, yeah, I think that's what people are going to remember.
And I think what people are going to remember about this series is that Max Fried came in and did what he had to do, and Ian Anderson did what he had to do. I mean, last night only got interesting, Steve, and I'll allow you to expand and expound on the two young Braves pitchers in a second. But last night only got interesting because of the Braves bullpen, and now the Dodgers, and I don't know what you're thinking here. Do they think, all right, that was our wake-up call. We're ready to swing the bats in time for Game 3. Because if they don't against Kyle Wright, this thing is all but over anyway.
Yeah, I think so. And the thing is, though, I mean, this Dodgers team was the best offense in all of Major League Baseball during the regular season. They had more home runs than any other team in the major leagues during the regular season. But yet in the playoffs, the bats have just gone silent. And I think until they finally started mounting that rally in the late innings last night, you haven't really seen the Dodger offense perform the way that it has all season long. So I think they can feel confident that maybe we've turned a corner, and we've gotten the best arms that the Braves have to throw at us out of the picture now in Fried and Ian Anderson. I mean, those guys were dominant, have been dominant throughout the playoffs, but now you get to Kyle Wright, you get to whomever else the Braves are going to throw out there in Game 4, and the Dodgers have kind of found the soft spot in the Braves' pitching staff, and I think here is where they have to be able to turn it on, score early against Kyle Wright, who wasn't that great during the regular season, and kind of reassert themselves. I mean, it's still doable, and this is a very, very good Dodgers team. I certainly, you know, can't count them out, even though they're down 0-2.
You sound like Dusty Baker, down 0-2. We've got them now right where we want them. What can we expect from Julio Urias, or Urias? I know I always botch that. What can we expect from him tonight?
Well, he's been very good, especially he's faced the Braves a couple of times in his career. I don't think he's allowed a run. And he's one of those talented pitchers that the Dodgers have. I mean, it just seems like they have an endless supply of them. But he's one of those guys. I don't know that he's going to be able to go more than four, five innings tops. If they can get five innings out of him, that would be great. But he's one of those guys that it kind of is just sitting in the background and is still so very good. I mean, Tony Gonsolin was pretty good, and he's another unheralded one. I think Urias has a chance to assert himself. I mean, he's been a prospect that people have raved about for a long time and has had his injury and health struggles to the point now where he's healthy. He is at the top of his game, so to speak, and I think they're going to get a good outing out of him tonight.
Steve Gardner, USA Today, joins us here on the Brian Mitchell Show, Team 980, Team 980 app, 95.9 FM, joins us on the Team 980's Window Nation guest hotline. Steve, talking about bullpens, as I saw them rolling out people from the Rays, and everybody seems to be different, you know, how good is their bullpen?
It's fantastic, and I think that's the key, Brian. And what you notice is that you have guys with funky deliveries. You know, you've got guys that throw really, really hard. Guys with that rely on breaking pitches more so than fastballs. I mean, they do give you an awful big variety, and they're all so good that I think it really makes it hard for hitters to get their timing and to feel comfortable in the box. And that's huge for the Rays. And again, part of the way that they're designed to be able to give teams all these different looks. And that's why they were one of the best in the regular season. That bullpen is fantastic. And Kevin Cash has managed them well enough that nobody's really exceptionally overworked or anything like that. And at this point, you know, they can bring Nick Anderson, their best reliever, out there for an inning or even two if need be tonight. And then if they could wrap up the series, then give everybody some off time, which would be even more beneficial.
And you know, they've got just tons of stories. We have Hunter Renfroe and his big train D.C. area ties. You got Zunino. You got Kiermaier. You got Manny Margot with his big poppy-like specs and his big poppy-like frame and the amazing catch and the three-run homer the other night. And you got a Rosarena, the rookie, Randy. There's tons of stuff going on there. And you look and you go, this is how a baseball team should be constructed.
Exactly. And you know, that's it's the whole is greater than the sum of its parts kind of thing. And one of the other things too that you notice is the clubhouse chemistry. And I know this is a soft factor that you can't really quantify, but it truly seems like these guys get along well with each other. They root for each other. They're excited about when the other guy succeeds. You know, everybody was talking about Mike Brasso when his home run off of Aroldis Chapman that won the last series. You know, everybody expressed they were so happy for him and all that he's gone through. I think that's the, you know, underdog mentality. Call it whatever you want, but this team really, really enjoys performing for each other and getting together and teaming up with each other that it seems like they really have something special, and it's fun to watch because they've been so successful during the season.
I know many people would want to see Houston and the Dodgers, but we're going to see a Rays. Probably more than likely, it's going to be a Rays in Atlanta series. Can the Major League Baseball live with that?
I don't know. I think of all the combinations, Tampa Bay and Atlanta is probably the least, shall we say, palpable to the average baseball fan, to the Fox media executives. I think for baseball fans in general, though, it makes for a heck of a series. Whoever the Rays might face, I think would be an outstanding series from a baseball standpoint. I'm going to look at it that way and let the marketing people look at it for, you know, we don't have any of the established stars on the Rays team, really. And for the Braves, yeah, they're okay, but they're not a big market team like the Dodgers would be. So, and there's not a villain like the Astros would be. So in terms of storylines and all that coming into it, I think the baseball will have to, you know, stand on its own, which isn't a bad thing, but certainly from a rating standpoint, it's not exactly what Fox would want to see in the World Series.
Steve, last one before we let you go. You're always quite generous with your time at Steve A. Gardner on Twitter. He, of course, of USA Today via the Team 980's Window Nation guest hotline. Mr. Altuve hitting the ball and hitting the ball well, hitting almost 400 in this series. Had a home run, another home run last night. But with him giveth, he also taketh away. He's got the three errors. And, you know, I was telling B. Mitch, I have a very smart baseball friend who says, yes, this is just a game of moments. And if an inning gets extended, you never know when it's going to bite you in the ass. And his errors have really slaughtered his team this series.
Yes, and, you know, especially game two where it allowed for a three-run home run that Margot hit, all of them unearned runs. And it seems like, Scott, he's got a little bit of the, you know, the Chuck Knobloch.
The Knoblockian yips.
Throwing issues. And that's so, you know, in the postseason under the bright spotlights, to have that happen to you, it's a scary thing. And you know he's got to be thinking about it. And his teammates are probably thinking about it but not saying anything about it. And there's really nothing that he can do. And that, I think, may be the most drama-inducing thing that we see tonight. You know, what happens when an easy, routine ground ball is hit to second base? Can Jose Altuve make that play?
It's amazing. Some guys just have it all when it comes to the bat, but they don't have the glove. But, Steve, we appreciate you giving us some time, man. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, Steve Enjoy, Gardner, Steve. USA Today, giving us some time here on the Brian Mitchell Show, Team 980, Team 980 app, 95.9 FM. Take us a quick break. We'll be back.
Back to B. Mitch and Scott on the Team 980 and the Team 980 app.
Think back to that question I asked Steve about will Major League Baseball like the fact that it may be the Rays and the Braves. And I think ultimately that question, that age-old question comes up. You want the best team or you want the team with the biggest market?
Right.
But I think we will be getting the two best teams. Whoever ends up going to be the two best.
And the Rays have been the best. Right. Then you'd want to see the, you know, and Atlanta's pretty damn good too. They lost during the season arguably their best pitcher in Mike Soroka, another one of those young arms. And as Steve said during the interview, he's like, look, the Dodgers do have them right where they want them because they faced Max Fried, they faced Ian Anderson, now they're to number three at Kyle Wright and whoever number four is. So being down 2-0, it's not necessarily over. If Mike Soroka is in there, you're thinking he starts game one. Then they have Fried, then they have Anderson, and they go three deep. And in a perfect world, maybe it's Soroka and Kershaw in game number one, and you don't know what's going to happen. But let's say Soroka outpitches Kershaw, which is distinctly, it's certainly possible. So maybe the Braves are up 3-0 right now, and we're like, damn, it's over. And the best lineup that money could buy and could trade for and could draft and all that other good stuff, that they're against the ropes.
Mm-hmm.
And you understand why, because good pitching does take care of good hitting. And Steve mentioned, there's guys who aren't pulling their weight. And Mookie Betts is one of them. As great as he is and as great as he was, he, much like George Springer on the Astros side, Mookie's hitting 143. You know, Corey Seager's on fire up near 400. Justin Turner, 222. And I know these are small sample sizes. Max Muncy had a two-run shot last night. But prior to that, that raised his average to 167. Will Smith, who was a hitting machine behind the plate, 111. Mr. Bellinger, who had a rocket of a triple off the right field wall in that ninth inning to make it 8-7, he's hitting 111. So there's, you know, this is what happens. You know, you meet good arms and you go, all right, you know, let's see what's going on. Even Ronald Acuna Jr., you know, 125 this time around. He was struck out three times last night. Ozzie Albies is hitting 560. And he had another home run last night. And for the second game in a row, Mr. Mitchell, Mark Melancon, former Nat reliever, he's certainly bounced around. Melancon in the bullpen caught the home run ball off of Ozzie Albies.
The first one, he didn't move at all.
Right. Last night,
and this time he had to do he put a little pizzazz into it.
Yeah, he showed off his range.
Yeah.
But that's still pretty impressive. The fact that the guy's up, he's like, and at the time he's thinking, I don't have to get into this game. But they dented. They dented former Oriole Darren O'Day. They dented Minter. Tomlin came in and threw gas on the fire and gave up three earned in two-thirds of an inning. And then Melancon came in. One run did score. Wasn't on his tab. But it was, I mean, that ninth inning, after Seager hit the three-run shot to get him on the board at 7-3, I believe it was, I was like, all right, you know, I'm not going upstairs. I'm not going to turn this off. And then you just sat there and you're like, ding, ding. It was like watching somebody play slow motion pinball. They're going to set the high score or they're just going to get damn near close. And it was entertaining as bleep.
It was but they made that thing interesting at the end, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the whole thing about it. I don't want to see people quit. And we didn't see quit in any of those people last night.
They didn't. So as I asked Steve, you know, if you believe in moral victories, then the bats are waking up. And then they do have the Braves right where they want them. Or they go, hell, if we come out with another slow start and and Julio doesn't have it, although, as Steve mentioned, he's faced them twice and he's been very, very good. I mean, this is his baby now because Clayton Kershaw ain't walking through that door. The hope is that he's ready at some point during this series. And if you're going to get a game four anyway. Do they throw him out there if they're down 3-0? Do they throw him out there if they're only, you know, if they do cut in and it's 2-1? Because you don't want to go down 3-1 either.
Nah.
I mean, maybe you take your chances because knowing what they'll throw out there for their fourth starter, you're like, eh.
The thing about Kershaw that scares me, he's been out because of back spasms. Any pitch can spark that again.
Correct. This was only the second time that this has happened all during the short season. It happened at opening day, and then he was able to go through. And like Steve said, his last time out, dude had like 13 strikeouts in 8 innings. He was awesome.
No point.
And people were going, all right, it's a different Kershaw. It's a different Kershaw. I mean, that was as recently as last weekend, and he was freaking unbelievable. And that was when he waved off Dave Roberts as far as getting replaced because they were like, because he gave up a hit. Give up a hit or home run? I forget. Somebody got into decent position. And then he's like, don't worry about it. I got this last guy. And then he shook his head almost violently, but with humor. He's like, no, you're not coming for me. You're not. No, I'll stay out here. And then he struck out the last guy anyway.
Yeah.
And then they got somebody for the night.
The thing that gets me is this, though. So I watch guys who hit the straight ball in golf, and when they have to hit a draw or a cut, they have to hit go at a different angle on the spine. If he's throwing just straight fastball, he doesn't have to adjust as much. But the curve and the slider, he has to put a little bit of difference in there. Will that affect that back? And we're not doctors, but I'm just saying.
Sure.
Things that can, in the middle of a game or early in the game, cause him issues. And if he can't use his whole arsenal, he's not going to be Kershaw.
Mm-hmm. Definitely not.
That way he throws the ball kind of like looks a little awkward to me, but that's what he does.
He's a big dude.
Yeah.
And he's got arms for his wingspan is something. And when he does that wind up and you're like, where's the, you know, I know where the ball's coming from. It's coming from the next area code.
Yeah.
And then it moves all sorts of stuff. So, yeah, obviously. I mean, you know, he's a competitor. I don't know it, but I've read of him and we've seen, you know, has he fared as well as his regular seasons in the postseason? No, obviously not. But after his most recent start, you start to think, yeah, this year could be different. But right now his team is in not the best possible place. They need to get this one tonight.
All right, well, we're going to take a quick break here. Later on in the show, we'll be having Ron Rivera, also Scott Turner, and Kyle Allen will be talking. But the question I ask, Dwayne Haskins shows up today. They send him home because he's sick. I know a lot of people question, was he sick or not on Sunday? Does today, which is Wednesday, coming in and they still send him home, tell you the man wasn't lying? He was actually sick. Just seemed a little crazy. This is the Brian Mitchell Show, Team 980, Team 980 app, 95.9 FM.